You are listening to Latin Waves, a weekly syndicated program. For more information about our program, visit www.latinwavesmedia.com. If life was not hard enough in Haiti, with the people having to endure military coup conditions since 2004, when their democratically elected leader Jean-Patron Aristide was forcibly removed from his home to exile in South Africa, a coup that involved Canada, France, and the U.S., this earthquake only intensifies the suffering and struggle of the Haitian people. I have Kevin Pena on the line to speak about the quake and what's happening on the ground. Kevin Pena is a journalist and independent filmmaker who divides his time living in California and Haiti. Pena reports extensively from Haiti from Flashpoints, a radio program heard daily on KPFA, the flagship station of the Pacifica Network. He is also an associate editor of the Black Commentator online magazine and the founding editor of the Haiti Information Project, an alternative news group operating in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Thanks, Stuart.
Before we talk about the devastating earthquake and its aftermath, I want to talk about something that has been happening in the Canadian media. Around Christmas in the Globe and Mail, we had a story and accompanying pictures of Canadian troops handing out food. It basically bragged about Canada's enormous contribution to aid in Haiti. And now we are even enduring more media stories about how we're helping after this terrible earthquake. Should Canadians be proud of the role our government's playing in Haiti?
Well, I mean, of course, humanitarian efforts are important, particularly after a major disaster like this earthquake that hit Port-au-Prince, but, you know, we shouldn't be fooled by the hype. The truth is that Canada helped to destabilize and overthrow democratically elected government in Haiti, that Canada supported training brutal Haitian national police, that while Canada was claiming to reform Haiti's judiciary, that you had 4,000 prisoners in the penitentiary, and only 600 of them have ever been charged with a crime. The remainder of them never even seen before a judge. So actually, Canada's role has been scandalous in many ways. That should not in any way reflect upon the Canadian people, who I think in many instances have been wonderful and have worked in true solidarity with the Haitian people. But as far as the official policies of the Canadian government, I think they've been nothing less than scandalous.
Now, there was scheduled upcoming elections. Obviously, they can't be held now. But the current de facto administration has not allowed the main Lavalas party to even run in those elections. Can you speak to this?
Well, I just spent a month in Haiti. I got back on January the 5th, a week before this earthquake hit. And I got to tell you that we spoke with a lot of people throughout the capital, throughout the poor neighborhoods of Bel Air, Matissot, Cité Soleil, among others. And there were a few themes that were crystal clear that people wanted us to get. One of them was that they have not forgotten Jean-Bertrand Aristide and that they want him to come back still. Also, that they felt betrayed by the government of René Préval. They felt betrayed because they had elected him to return Aristide, to end the repression against the Lavalas movement, to free political prisoners, and they felt as if René Préval reneged on those promises, but also they felt as if René Préval had been using the billions of dollars of aid from Canada, the United States, and the international community in order to continue to destroy their movement. They felt not only just cut out of the aid process through the Préval government and non-governmental organizations receiving funding from the Canadian International Development Agency and the U.S. Agency for International Development, but they also felt that Préval was using that aid money purposefully to continue destroying the Lavalas movement. We heard that time and time again. Of course, part of that was excluding the majority political party from the electoral process, but there's no way in hell they're going to hold elections in Haiti now that the capital is virtually destroyed, and we're hearing reports that almost 100,000 people have been killed. Also, you've got to realize that half of the parliament, Haiti's parliament, is missing. More than half of the Préval's cabinet is missing. We heard today that key members of the opposition movement to Aristide, who'd been working in Préval's government, have been killed in this earthquake. That's one of the reasons that we also believe that now the Obama administration is choosing to militarize the relief efforts. The Federal Aviation Administration today announced that no civilian relief planes would be allowed to land on the tarmac in Port-au-Prince only military planes are being allowed to land. The 82nd Airborne landed today, the U.S. Rangers, in preparation for another 5,700 Marines who are supposed to land over the next 2 days, and another 3,500 Marines who are supposed to land next month, ostensibly to help with relief efforts.
Is it your impression these troops are going to be staying even after the major relief effort?
Absolutely, and I don't believe that their main role is going to be relief. I can't see, given the troop strain in Afghanistan and in Iraq, for the U.S. troops especially, that they're going to be sending these crack units of the 82nd Airborne and of the United States Marines to go with shovels and picks. I just don't see it. These are trained military forces that are being taken out of the theater from Afghanistan and Iraq. They are engaged in military operations there. They're now being transferred to Haiti. Their primary role is not going to be relief efforts. Their primary role is going to be security, and their first job is going to be to secure the airport in Port-au-Prince. Their second job is going to be to secure the airstrip in Cap-Haïtien, where, of course, Venezuela is about to build a new international airport. And their main role is going to be to militarily occupy and control Haiti with the vacuum that's been created by the United Nations, which itself was hit very hard by this earthquake. Hedi Anabi, the head of the United Nations Diplomatic Service, was killed in this quake. We know that we're hearing reports of tremendous damage to UN facilities throughout the country, and a greater number of growing deaths being counted every day of UN security forces on the ground. You know, the U.S. Marines are there to stop this vacuum, and most importantly, they know that this is also a political vacuum, and they're most afraid that the population will take to the streets, because right now the population is desperate, and what they're beginning to call is for Aristide to be allowed to return in order to give them hope, and that is the Pentagon and the Obama administration's greatest nightmare.
I did get an email today from Hands Off Venezuela, a solidarity group with Venezuela, and they stated that an aid plane was sent from Venezuela. Do you have any information about foreign aircraft being able to land in the last day or two?
No, none are. Only U.S. military aircraft, as I heard today, according to the New York Times and according to the Associated Press and Reuters, only U.S. military aircraft is now being allowed to land on the tarmac in Port-au-Prince. No civilian planes. All of the civilian relief efforts have been stopped at this critical moment. Right, we're in day three. People are still buried under rubble. There need to be dogs brought in, special dogs that can find people under the rubble. There need to be trained experts who can come in, and like DART in Canada, for example, who can come in, who are specialists in relief operations and rescue operations. These civilian operations have been stopped from entering Haiti altogether. Only U.S. military planes are being allowed to land today.
What about international NGOs like Red Cross or anything like that? Are those groups already there or not able to get there?
Well, they were mobilizing to do a huge effort. Their planes were stopped from landing today. There were 11 planes that were circling the tarmac in Port-au-Prince that were told to return. Two of them had to stop down in order to refuel, but they themselves were then told to take off with relief people on them. This is the Obama administration militarizing Haiti. They say that they cannot begin relief efforts until they secure the perimeter being the entire capital of Port-au-Prince, apparently.
That's very ironic, because I did read an article today that said Obama, unlike Bush and Katrina, would send aid immediately to the Haitian people, but what you're telling me is they're doing exactly what Bush did in Hurricane Katrina, is to send in the military first. Is this what you're telling us?
Exactly. It is exactly the same strategy.
Can you tell us what things are like and what the situation is right now on the ground?
Well, we talked with Ansel Hurst today. He's a reporter there that I met during this last trip that I took this last month. and Ansel was the one who was reporting that the U.S. military has taken over the tarmac and that civilian aircrafts were not being allowed to land and were being turned away. He also described indescribable horror, blood running through the streets, Haitians doing everything they can to help themselves and organize themselves, to hear the muffled cries, to answer the muffled cries of victims who are trapped under rubble, while the Obama administration is turning away specialists who would be able to help them, while there's no heavy equipment that's being allowed to enter the country in order to help them with these relief efforts. They're being abandoned and left on their own in these very precious hours and minutes when it counts the most to save lives under these conditions. He described a horrible, horrible scene of devastation throughout the capital. Remember, the brunt of this earthquake was in Shamar, so also the seat of the government is destroyed. The National Palace is destroyed. The Parliament building is destroyed. The President of the Senate is reportedly dead. The Minister of Justice is reportedly dead. As I said, more than 50% of the Cabinet is missing. More than 50% of the Parliament is missing at this and unaccounted for at this time. The Supreme Court was destroyed. It's just utter devastation. They're now talking about casualties well up into tens of thousands, possibly as great as 100,000. For myself and my family, we are worrying tremendously. My wife's family, we've not been able to find out what's happened to them. Her father and her mother are still missing. Her two sisters and her two brothers are still missing. And of course, the worst thing in the world is that communication is sketchy. It's not been restored to the island, and not knowing is the worst thing of all. It's just a nightmare.
When I think of those people fighting and struggling against a military coup and then this happening, it's unimaginable, I think, to most North Americans. Now, the Lavalas party was not going to be able to run in this election, which is terrible injustice. Do you think this extra time at some point in the future, this will give the Lavalas party time to get themselves on the ballot, or do you think that's a possibility?
I think that the powers that be, the international community, particularly Canada, the U.S., and France, are going to try to put this back together. They're going to try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, meaning the Preval government. They're going to continue the policy of trying to exclude Lavalas. They can't afford to let Lavalas into elections because they know that they would win. And if Lavalas wins elections, democratic, free and democratic elections, it gives truth to their two big lies. One, that Aristide was a dictator, an undemocratic dictator, and two, that Lavalas was merely a violent political organization. They want to avoid that at all costs. I think that they're desperate now, which is probably why the U.S. Marines are now taking control of that island. It should be interesting to note that the United Nations said to the Pentagon today that those U.S. troops should be under their command, and the U.S. Southcom's response and the Pentagon's response was no. U.S. troops stay under U.S. command.
What do you suggest people can do in the United States, people in Canada, people who care about what's happening there, and people who, when they listen to your words of the kind of impunity against democracy, against aid, you know, we've seen with Katrina when Bush allowed all those people to simply die and drown, and the response was so pitiful. This is happening again, right before our eyes. What can people do to affect change?
Well,
and to help
you know,
those people?
we're gonna be doing our damnedest to circumvent this any way that we can. I want people to go to www.HaitiAction.net, support the Haiti Emergency Relief Fund. There's a tab on the front page. By supporting them, we are going to do our damnedest to get aid directly to grassroots organizations on the ground. Also, I would urge people in Canada to call the Minister of Foreign Affairs in your own country and demand that President Aristide be allowed to return from exile in South Africa so that he can participate fully in relief and recovery efforts, and so that he can help to rally the Haitian people in this darkest moment in their history.
I myself will be putting this program out on the Program Exchange and also on Radio for All and trying to get this information out there. But I'm going to read you something that was on the New Statesman. A new account of Haitians' recent history shows how the generally radical politics of Lavalas and his leader Jean-Pétion Aristide proved too threatening to the country's wealthy and elite and their foreign backers. Who are their foreign backers, Kevin? Who's benefiting
well,
from this?
Well, you know, it's the U.S., France, and Canada for sure, but we're also talking about transnational capital. We've got Gildan Activewear, who's paired up with Andy Appeared, who is one of the leaders of the opposition Group 184 that had helped to oust Aristide. We've got Gregory Merz family pairing up with George Soros to build a $46 million industrial tax-free zone next to Cité Soleil. You've also got the Bijou family being paired up with the Irish telecommunication giant Digicel. This is their strategy for building, rebuilding Haiti, is pairing the same elite that was responsible for the coup, not only that, the last coup, but successive coups, many coups in Haiti, pairing them up with transnational capital in order to use that as a foundation to then begin to build a sweatshop economy where they say they're going to create 50,000 jobs in 10 years and they're going to pay Haitians less than $3 a day, and somehow that's going to help in a country where more than 4.5 million adults of working age today, 80% of them are unemployed. Absolute nonsense. Why? Because they're not addressing the real problem, which is that Haiti's wealthy elite are unreliable business partners. First of all, they are not free market capitalists. These are monopolists. Until their monopolies are broken in Haiti, you can do anything you want. It will never change the fundamental economic reality. The other thing is that these same elites, whenever they get profits off of the back of the Haitian people, they don't keep their money in Haitian banks in local currency. They always ship their money abroad, particularly to the United States, where their money is kept in U.S. dollars. Until those practices are ended or limited, there will be no real change in Haiti.
Now, I wanted to raise that point because many companies, North American companies, and these people are benefiting tremendously from this kind of repression. So when I think of apartheid South Africa, I think of the divestment movement that helped to bring down that government. So I do encourage people. Is there a list somewhere where people can go and see for themselves which companies are supporting this or who's behind it?
Well, they've just started this, so the list is pretty small, but it's growing. It was growing until this latest disaster. But it's going to become apparent. But listen, Gildan Activewear, let me just give you an example. A year ago, Gildan Activewear moved the majority. Now, Gildan Activewear is a Canadian company. It's one of the largest apparel manufacturers in the world. A year ago, about a year and a couple months ago, Gildan Activewear moved its factory from Honduras, Mexico, and Nicaragua and put most of its operations into Haiti. Do you know that within the first quarter of having done that, that Gildan Activewear posted an 18% profit for that first quarter? Now, you know what Gildan Activewear announced yesterday? Since the earthquake, they're going to now contribute a couple $100,000 and they're going to move their operations back to Nicaragua and Honduras. Thank you, Haiti, for the profits, the money that we've extracted from you. But now that you have a disaster, we've got to continue making our profits and bye-bye.
You know, it's so important to get that information out there, too, because, you know, there is reasons that this repression goes on and continues. And now they're off to, where did you say they're off to now? Honduras?
Honduras and Nicaragua. They're returning their operations to Honduras and Nicaragua.
Yeah, don't get me started on Honduras.
These capitals are shambles. There's no more infrastructure. They can't make a quick buck. That's what they're about. So now that, you know, they've made all this profit from the Haitian people over the last year and a half, now that there's a problem in Haiti, they're going to throw a couple hundred grand at it. They're going to make it look as if they have a lot of largesse, and then they're going to take their millions of dollars of profits, and they're going to return their operations back to Nicaragua and Honduras, while the Haitian people are left to suffer in misery from this recent crisis. Thanks, Gildan Activewear.
Incredible, incredible. And any final thoughts, Kevin, before we go? People, it's almost overwhelming to look at such a large tragedy, but when you put it like that, that kind of tragedy, it's not that complex, is it? It's not that complicated. Like, we always look at third world countries like, oh, you know, the governments are corrupt or this or that, but it's very simple. It's very simple, the actual problem. And the problem is the people who are running that country. Any comments on that?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely true. But remember that the people who run that country largely are working for the people who run our country. It's a direct relationship between the Preval regime, the Preval government, and the Canadian government, the French government, and the U.S. government. It's all about the elites against the majority of the poor, largely in Haiti. I hate to oversimplify it, but it really isn't much more complicated than that. Aristide was a symbol of the poor in that country for the first time, having a president who represented their interest in the presidential palace. Nothing had happened like it before, and nothing has happened like it since. And that's why I say that if they really, truly want to rebuild Haiti in the quickest possible way, they need to allow Jean-Bertrand Aristide to return from exile from South Africa. He would be able to rally and mobilize the poor. They would see a movement in a way that they have never experienced since the election of René Préval in 2006, or certainly since before the coup of 2004. They really do have the tiger by the tail, because what they are doing is not sustainable. That's why it requires a U.S. military occupation, a United Nations military occupation, and now a U.S. military occupation once again in order to sustain it, in order to enforce it. That's why those troops are needed, because in the end, their political program and their economic program, they know is not sustainable. It's built on a house of cards. It really is a big con job. And I think that Bill Clinton, and I think that Stephen Harper, and I think that Barack Obama really know that in their heart of hearts. And let me include Sarkozy in there as well. I think that they really know that in their heart of hearts.
You know, we just interviewed singer-songwriter David Rovics, and he speaks of the hypocrisy of Western so-called values, where we speak of democracy and goodwill and egalitarian principles, but then we do the opposite. We support dictators, we overthrow governments, we do all kinds of covert operations, which create massive suffering. So in closing, Kevin, why should the average North American care about Haiti? Haiti's so far away. If someone is doing okay here and they're going to work and raising their kids, why should they think about a place like Haiti so far away? Why is it important that they care?
Well, there's a Creole expression, mem-mem. It means one of us. We are all one, and the Haitian brothers and sisters have contributed tremendously to humanity with their examples of resistance, with their examples of courage historically. The Haitians are just a wonderful inspiration to the world, and I think for that reason alone, if no other, they deserve our support. And again, the movement of the poorest of the poor must never be abandoned. And Haiti is the poorest of the poor, and right now they are suffering so dearly. And we need to take responsibility for what has been done in our name, what has been done with our tax dollars, and we need to do everything we can to set it right again. It's only right. Justice does exist. There is such a thing as social justice, and I think that we need to be examples of that in our own lives, and one clear way that we can do that is to support the Haitian people in this difficult moment.
That was Kevin Pena. Kevin Pena has been covering issues around Haiti extensively and was present when the coup occurred. For more information and to help the people of Haiti, you can visit www.haitiaction.net or www.haitiinformationproject.net. You can also view Kevin Pena's film, Haiti, We Must Kill the Bandits. But the most important thing that we can do is we can get in touch with our conservative government. I know they've taken an early holiday, it seems, and they're not interested in the affairs of the country. They're not holding parliament. I guess they don't like criticism, and it's very disgraceful that in these hard economic times of all these things happening, our government simply goes on a hiatus because they don't like the criticism. If you go to conservative.ca, you'll see a lot of rhetoric about how much they're helping Haiti, but what you won't see on the website is the fact that we're participating in an illegal coup and removing of a democratic government of Jean-Bertrand Aristide. So the best way they can help is return democracy and not militarize Haiti. As you heard Kevin Pena saying many days later, there's still no aid landing. I'm looking at the website. It says that we're sending aid, yet I'm a little suspicious when independent journalists there are saying that no aid is being allowed to land. And anyone who knows natural disasters knows that the first couple days are the most critical. So get in touch, Minister of Foreign Affairs. I wouldn't call him honorable, but Lawrence Cannon is a Minister of Foreign Affairs. Phone number 819-281-2626. in Gatineau, Quebec. So, Mr. Cannon, we would like you to return democracy to Haiti, and we would like to let you know that Canada is supporting a coup in Haiti, and we no longer will support your party if you continue to support this coup. Now, at first you think, okay, what can I do? But believe me, if a few thousand people send off this email, and let them know also how you feel about, you know, proroguing parliament and simply shutting the place down, because I don't like criticism. I seen today that they're losing a lot of steam in the polls. Now, we also have to remember that the Liberal Party of Canada is the ones that that started this coup, so they're not free from sin either. But it's really nice, and it makes me feel all warm inside to see the Conservatives falling in the polls, as they should. Yeah, Lawrence Cannon, there it is. Give him a call, say hello, and let us know if you get a response here at Latin Waves. Or you can get in touch with us through the website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Let us know if Lawrence Cannon responds. Let us know if you find him at the office. You know, I bet you that not one listener can find him actually in his office or get to speak with him. Let me know if you can, and let me know what his response is, or if there's anyone working, or if it's just voicemail. It'll be interesting to know. He's probably getting ready to come here on the, you know, on his Olympic trip. So once more, let me know if you're able to get in touch with Lawrence Cannon. You get in touch with me through the website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.